I'd like to have you go to Revelation chapter 2, if you would. I've been in Harmony for 31 years this past year as pastor. And we went through the COVID thing. You know, we're down to about 30 people. And we probably have double that in heaven over these years. And God just does what he wants, amen. So he's given me the privilege to train a couple guys. And Pastor Ben is here with his wife, Ben Hayes. And he's pastoring down in Walkersville, Maryland. And I used to bring him to this meeting when he was single. Now he's married and he has kids and cars and all kinds of stuff. So Brother Tim, he's in our institute. And Brother Eli married Emily Walker. So this is the husband of Emily Walker, just so you guys know. That's forever. He'll be known as the husband of Emily Walker. But Brother King, we had Brother King last year, and he asked me, who's this guy here? And I said, that's my unofficial assistant. And he said, usually if you can't give a guy money, you give him a title. I said, we can't afford to do either. So anyhow, just real quick update on my family, because I had a guy in the restroom. I didn't even know him. And he asked me about my grandson, and things are coming along. So I appreciate your prayers. Had a nice Father's Day text, and we're getting there. My younger son has AS. They diagnosed him this past year, and so we're trying to get him disability. And my daughter's she's still having seizures, but the Lord's been good there as well. We got a 2-year-old and a granddaughter, and she's been a blessing as well. And so that's all my problems. I'd like to hear yours now. But anyhow, so we pastor in this town. It used to be 1,800 people. Now it's down to 800. And I don't know why that is, but it seems like people are moving out. But I read a story about an elderly lady, and she got caught stealing the grocery store and went before the judge. And the judge asked her what she stole, and she said, a can of peaches. And he said, why did you do that? She said, because I was hungry. And he said, how many peaches were in the can? And she said, 6. And he said, I'm going to give you a day in jail for every peach. And her husband spoke up. He said, can I just say something before you sentence my wife? She also stole a can of peas. So be careful how you treat your husband. Amen. May come back on you. Revelation chapter 2. Appreciate again the opportunity to preach. It is an honor. And I don't know what else to say after hearing Brother Knox and after hearing Brother Havman and Brother King. It's all been good. So appreciate you guys. Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And we're all trying to figure out what in the world's happening in this day and age. And I think this is another part of the problem. And I just titled this today, A Message to the Church. We hear messages all the time. But God has messages for us. Amen. And I realize where we're at dispensationally, and I understand church history and all these things. But I just want to give you something practical from this today and get out of the way. So let's pray together, and we'll take a look this morning. Father, thank you for this time to be together and for the Word of God. Thank you for all that we've heard, Lord. And I just pray that you'll your Holy Spirit might fill us once again. And God, fill this place. Father, it seems like we never get enough. And I pray that after this meeting's over, these messages will live on in our hearts. And God, the theme and all that you've done, thank you so much. And I pray today that you just give us power now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So Ephesus here has left their first love. In verse 2, God says, I know thy works. That's a blessing, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like you're working for the Lord and, you know, nobody sees or nobody commends you, or but God sees. Amen. And so he says, and I know thy labor. God knows your labor. These were good people here. He said, and thy patience. Sometimes in church work, you have to have patience. Amen. Things just go on that you have to wait on. And, so it's a blessing where these things are evident in the church, where people are working, where people are laboring and people have patience. Amen. And then he goes on to say, he says, and thou canst not bear them which are evil. The church should be clean, right? God's church should be clean. Evil prevails. It just seems like the devil's always busy and he's always around. All you have to do is look a little bit. Amen. And, and I understand, you have to, you get people in, you have to work with those whom God has given you, right? You do your best to work, with what God's given you. But, for whatever reason, sometimes things just go wrong. Now I want you to go over, hold your finger there, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just have you turn a little bit here. That'll maybe settle me down a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I feel like Brother Kim Larry just nervous this morning. I don't know why. But and finally, this year, where'd he go? I think I got your name, brother. We used to call you Brother Calamari. I couldn't figure it out, but so I got you this year. Second Corinthians chapter 11. What a wonderful message, amen. Man. You just want to go look in the mirror and say how stupid you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So not only in our churches are we, we're dealing with people, we're dealing with problems, and we're dealing with people who are following other people who are, they're not scriptural, right? They're not Bible believers. They're not following God. And over in 1 John chapter 4, in verse number 1, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out of the world. And man, I remember years ago, I preached on Catherine Coleman. How many of you remember Catherine Coleman? Oh my. And then I had a couple elderly ladies come up to me afterwards and she said, my sister got healed at one of her services. What were you going to say to that, And, but just, false prophets. We got to try the spirits. Anyhow, look in verse number, back to Revelation chapter 2. Look in verse number 3. And we're okay at preaching as long as nobody calls us on the carpet, amen. And then you got to kind of give a soft answer. Turn away wrath, all those things, Revelation chapter 2, take a look with me in verse number 3. So the Bible says, or end of verse 2, he says, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. This was a good church. I mean, they were testing people, They found them liars, They proved them liars. Verse 3, it says here, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. They were a faithful group. They were a faithful bunch, amen? any pastor would have been glad to have a congregation like this, a congregation of workers, amen, people who were doing what they were called to do, amen. And he says on down in verse number 6, if you'll jump down there for a moment, he says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." And, you know, Paul talked about wolves entering in. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And these were Paul's wolves. Amen. The Nicolaitans. Paul fought all kinds of people. But look in Acts chapter 20 and look in verse number 29. And he says this. He says, Acts 20, verse number 29. He said, "For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So, I mean, there's always this problem in the church, amen? I read this, and so it has to be true, amen, because I got it from a commentator. It said that the Nicolaitans were the meaning Nico, to conquer, to overthrow, and Laos, the people. And so to overthrow the people, and the idea was they were trying to establish a priestly order like the Old Testament priest, which in the New Testament was not supposed to be the same. Amen. It was supposed to be different. And so here we see the beginning of the Catholic way of religion with priests and bishops and popes and all those types of things, you know. And so what a problem to have in the church. Amen. But they got rid of it. Let me just say something to you as a church. You know, don't let your pastor do all the fighting. Amen. Sometimes, you know, folks been in church, they've heard preaching. Thank God for people who stand up and say, "Hey, no, that's not right." And you're help the pastor out. We're for the pastor. Amen. The man of God. And so these people had battles on their hands. Go back there again to Revelation chapter 2. Take a look with me in verse number 4. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. So he gets down to where he's at, you know, he gets down to brass tacks, we might say, in verse number 4. He says, "Nevertheless, he said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And God needs all your efforts, but God needs your love. Amen. The word Ephesus means to let go or to relax. And their sin was that they relaxed. And, you know, it's that way with many churches over the years. I got saved back in 75 as a teenager. And my parents had gotten saved, and my mother and my stepfather. And we started going to church. And I didn't know anything at that point. I was going through all kinds of things in my life. But we were going to a church, and I would go in there with them, and it was a Baptist church, and I would see what was going on, and, you know, just as a teenager, you know, you observe what's going on, and, you know, I saw the preacher, he had a heart for God, and I saw a bunch of people, though, that really didn't seem like they had a heart for God. And that pastor left that church, and he started another church just not far from that area, maybe 20 miles. And when that happened, the church changed its name. It happens the same way all the time, you know. People get disgruntled, the music changes, the standards change, and then the name changes. Amen. And thank the Lord for them changing their name. Amen. Take Baptist off the name. That's a good deal. And so anyhow, today, that area right there where that church was at is a Walgreens. And so now we're, you know, helping people with their physical health rather than their spiritual health. Amen. We have another church in our town, and not far from us in Cranberry Township. We're just 8 miles up the road. And that pastor ran off with a secretary, and, you know, that thing fell apart, and they've changed their name. We had a young guy, I guess about maybe 10 years ago, called me, and he said, "I'm thinking about starting a church in Cranberry." I said, "Amen. We need a church in Cranberry. There's enough people there. And so he came. We got in my car. We drove around. We had lunch together. And he started a church. And things are going well. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. And so right over from us, about 3-4 miles, there's another church. The old preacher over there, he was a blessing, but they've gone downhill. They've dropped all these things. They've changed the name. And what happened? The church relaxed. Amen. We're to take heed lest we fall. And don't take for granted what you have and what you are. Amen. You could be a memory tomorrow. Really. And it's just, it breaks my heart as a pastor. So churches relax when their people relax. Amen. And you can only you can only do as good or do as well as a pastor as your people. Amen. And this was a good church, good qualities. And yet they lost, or they left rather. They didn't lose, but they left their first love. And the Lord says, I have somewhat against you here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 says this, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we're in that, we're not there yet. That's a tribulation passage, but we're on our way. Have you noticed? The love of many has grown cold. And the church is compared to a husband and a wife. It happens in a marriage, right? Interests change. Hearts grow cold. You leave the house. You say, I love you. She says, I love you. But both of you know you're kidding yourselves, And after a while, after you've been married for a while, it just seems like you're just business partners in a nonprofit organization. Amen. And, there's what happened. They left. They didn't lose. Still married. They left their first love. They left the idea and the ideals of where they got in at. Amen. We oftentimes, we forget when we had nothing but each other. Amen. We had nothing but, things were exciting, like seeing each other at the end of the day. And things were exciting about, we had one car, and we had to split maybe back and forth to work or whatever to have that life go on. And but kids came and we got two cars and the house is paid for. Amen. And they left. They grow apart. They've left the first love. I've seen it. I've pastored. I've seen people stay together until the kids graduate and then split up. You pastors have seen that. They left their first love. There's something happened there. They don't enjoy each other. They don't enjoy just taking a walk together or just, having a pizza together. Now they have fine clothes and fine stuff and fine jewelry and fine china and all this stuff. And they left the memories that caused their love to flourish. It's the same way in the church. It happens the same way. Remember when you first got saved? But now I run into so many people, Christians, they're angry, they're bitter. I visited a friend, we worked together, and I went, I visited him. And I talked to him, I said, hey man, somebody told me you weren't in church. He said, I'm very mad at God right now. How can you be mad at God? I'm sure he's mad at you. That's what you ought to be worried about. Amen. Amen. And he was just angry and bitter. Somebody did you wrong, Maybe it was the pastor. Maybe it was another church member. Maybe it was a friend. A million things, It could just be anything, because that's what the devil's looking for. He's looking for anything. And you're harboring things inside that are just eating you alive. But you forget when his words were fresh, amen, and they were new. And the pages of your Bible seem to light up when you read, Now you don't, you read, you don't get anything. You say, well, I'm going to, somebody said it last night about, you know, our people, we think our people are more spiritual than they are. Isn't that the truth? You know, I've counseled with people, find out, first question I always ask, how's your devotions? Because that's where the problem comes in. Well, I quit reading my Bible. Well, let's do that first, and then you come back and talk to me. Amen. And, you know, it happens, it seems to happen the same way that all the time, you know, and then they never come back and talk to me. I don't know why that is. But, you know, again, it's a picture of Christ and the church, you know, and you know, not reading. How could you not read your Bible? That's like going home and not talking to your wife, not talking to your husband. Well, we're just not talking right now. That doesn't make any sense. Remember when you prayed? And man, the whole world would just go away. It was easy to pray for an hour. Now you pray for 5 minutes. Sometimes I pray with the men at the church and guys pray for 5 minutes and they run out of steam. They're repeating themselves. There's no relationship there. Amen. And it becomes like a broken record. In fact, it's hard to pray. And 5 minutes seems like eternity. Amen. We walked so cautiously with the Lord, not to hinder our communion or our relationship. We were so worried about God and what he thought and what he felt. Amen. Well, we would tell him we love him, and now I'm just grown cold. We're going through the motions. You come to church, you give, you labor. Amen. You know the truth. You know right from wrong, right? And you keep it under on the outside, but inside you're in a state of decline. You left that early passion. Amen. You left that. You left Christ on the outside rather than on the inside. Amen. And we know, church members don't know. Sometimes husbands and wives don't know. But we know where backslidden this can be. Amen. We forgot all he's done for us and all he does for us every day. Amen. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And I'm just kind of bearing my heart to you today. Philippians, I know it's a Bible conference, but Philippians chapter 1. Take a look with me in verse number 9. Paul said this to the church. He said, and this I pray. Yes, he's talking to individuals, but he's talking to the church. He said that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We have a weird idea of love, right? Love is, there's more to it. it's more than just that word. Amen. Teenagers say, well, you don't love me. No, I do love you. That's why we're not going to let you do this. People have a weird concept of love. And again, oftentimes, we'll go to Philippians chapter 3. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. Look what Paul says here. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, don't give up. Go forward. Amen. Keep going. Like Moses told the children of Israel when they got to the Red Sea. Go forward. You know, God told them, go forward. Keep going forward. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And you get in church and we pray and people say, Lord, we love you. Really? Hebrews chapter 6, look with me in verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. Now, we think our labor is proof, but it's more than that. As a husband, you go to work, you take care of things at the house. As Brother King preached the other night, takes care of his honey-do list, right? And that's not enough. There's more to it than that, right? That's part of it, but that's not all of it. Look what he says in verse number 11 here. And he says, labor of love, I'm sorry, in verse number 10, which you have showed toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. I mean, you know, you have to keep going with that thing. So Peter messes up, right? And the Lord comes to him and he doesn't say, Peter, what have you done for me lately? Peter, what about this issue you're having in your life with denying me? He comes to Peter and he says, do you love me? He's concerned about his love. That, and again, that bleeds over into the churches. Churches are exciting when they first start. When we're meeting in storefronts, you know, and they first start growing and prayers are being answered and we're having meetings and evangelists and preachers are becoming friends of the church and souls are being won and converts are being discipled and money's being raised for missionaries and building projects and people have a zeal and they're bringing friends and family members are being saved and sacrifices are being made. But now, amen, the building's paid for. The van's paid for. The parking lot's paved. We have all the plants and all the landscaping, but we lost God. Amen. And man, sometimes I long for the other days, you know. We run like a well-oiled machine, but we're missing the love of Christ. Somewhere along the way, like Ephesus, we relaxed. We've learned how to become a fair show in the flesh. God help us to heed the message to the church. He's preaching to the churches. Go back there with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. You know the thing about God. Number one, he knows. Number two, he can always help you out of any mess. Amen. Look with me in verse number 5. So he gives us a pattern. Don't you like that, preachers? Don't you like that? Isn't it a blessing to have a pattern to follow? You know, God has an order. We need to follow God's order in the family. It works better that way. His plan is better than my plan, right? So he says in verse number 5, he said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Just remember. You need to remember where it happened, where you lost it, what's going on. I was in a meeting one time and years ago, and a preacher preached a message, and he took his wallet out, and he threw it on the platform, and he walked over here, and he said, if you lose your wallet over there, you don't look for it over here. Amen. You go back to where you lost it. And the problem is, we as a church, you know, we've lost the Lord's love, or our love for the Lord, and we're over here looking for it. But we need a new van. We need a bus. Amen. We need to add on to the building. We need to a million other things. You get the point. We need to go back here and look for it where we lost it. Amen. You can't spiritually survive on reading what your friends wrote on Facebook. That's God's people. That's their devotions. Oh, look at this. Like Brother Abman said, let me share this with you. Where'd you get off track? Where'd you go downhill? Look what he says in verse number 5. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. He said, number 2, he said, repent. Repentance is still in the Bible. We look at repentance as a bad thing. That's the way back to God. Amen. As Christians, we should be repenting all the time. There's nothing bad about that. That's a good thing. Amen. It's God's way back. Turn around, change your mind, get back to God's way of thinking. Do the first works, he says. Make sure you're reading your Bible every day. You can't exist as a Christian without reading your Bible. By the way, preachers, You can't exist as a preacher without reading your Bible every day. You say, well, I have to study. No, you have to read first. Amen. God wants to feed you. You need to keep your love alive. Amen. We need to pray every day. You need to get up earlier. Now, I work a secular job. I'm a CDL instructor. I had my own truck for a while, but now I'm a CDL instructor. It is the seventh most dangerous job in the world. You can look it up. Being a police officer is 14th. And when I read that, I got scared. I'd been doing it for years. I wasn't scared, but now I'm scared. And buddy, I'm praying every day. Some of these people I ride with are just amazing. Amen. It's bad enough in a car, but in a tractor trailer, it's a whole nother ballgame. Amen. And so listen, I told the Lord, one of my pastor friends told me, he said, I'm praying that God will help me live on less sleep. I thought, that's crazy. And then after a while, I thought, that's what I need. I need less sleep. Amen. So I started getting up every day without fail at 6 o'clock. And then I backed it up 15 minutes. And then I backed it up another 15 minutes. And now I'm getting up about 5. And I get up and I have my devotions and I work out. I know you can't tell, but I need to do that because at this age you get injured in your sleep. Yeah. And I work out and then I go to work. The time I get to work, I've been up for 3 hours, but I've been able to spend some time with God. Amen. And it's the only way I can get by. Amen. And I don't want to lose my love for Christ. I'd rather go without sleep. Now, notice what he says in verse number 5. I'm almost done here. He says, so repent. He says to remember, to repent. He said, do the first works or else I will come unto thee quickly. God's not fooling. And he said, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And so the candlestick, for all practical purposes, it's just your testimony, but it's the church's testimony. You understand that, right? You as a Christian, your testimony is the church's testimony. It's been said that the church is only as strong as the weakest Christian. There's a lot of truth to that. Amen. And so as God's people, we need to think about that. Go back with me to Luke chapter 8. There are some verses in the Bible and just scare me to death. And I see God's people caught up in gross sin, you know, and how does that happen? It happens that they lost their fear of the Lord. God has the ability to wreck your day. Look at Luke chapter 8. And look with me in verse number 18. The Bible says, take heed therefore how ye hear. That's an interesting verse. You know, as a preacher, I've preached things and preached to teenagers, and they heard something. They were listening for something else. But the preacher said, no, you turned that around. You were listening for something else. Amen. He said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. I say, well, I'm not getting anything out of my Bible reading. You're telling on yourself. Amen. And notice what he goes on to say. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And I've counseled people and showed them this verse. And I have people that say, wow. And I have other people say, they don't understand what I'm talking about. That tells me, you know. Listen, for all practical purposes, the candlestick, the testimony gives light. Every church has a testimony. I had a guy call me the other day. It went to voicemail, and he said, I'm from the Ministerial Association, and He said, I know you usually don't join up with us. Well, I haven't joined up in 31 years. You think they'd catch on, but they don't. And my pastor before us, he didn't join up either, you know. Well, we're having this community event. Well, go ahead. We're having a community event as well. Amen. We're having church. We're trying to get people in the door. We're trying to see people get saved. Amen. And I don't need to join in with everybody else and be like everybody else so I can win them. Amen. I have my mandate from the Lord. Amen. So, listen, we need light. Amen. When Brother Eli, he's teaching Sunday school for us, and he's going through the tabernacle, and he probably wished he never took that subject. Amen. But when you walk into that tabernacle, and there's the candlestick in there, and your eyes adjust from the light to the darkness, and you look over and you see the showbread. Amen. God puts light on that. And you hear these preachers talking about they're reading, and God, Brother Camilleri, God gave him this. How many times have you heard a message and they open to a passage and you thought to yourself, your brain just clicked off because you know where they're going, and then they went somewhere different. Amen. God, listen, God doesn't need us. Amen. We need God. And the only condition, getting back to where God wants us, back there to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And I'm burdened today. I know we're in the day and age of apathy, right? And I mean, the church is apathetic and the world around us is on fire, as the preacher preached here. Revelation chapter 2, take a look with me in verse number 5. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That's retribution. We live in a day and age where we just think, well, you know, I've been kind of half-hearted all these years, and God hasn't killed me yet. Well, yet is the key word there. There's worse things than God killing you. He could let you live. He could let you see your kids go off. Amen. He could, you know, allow your marriage to take its natural course. He could allow church members to take their natural course. Retribution. God, we leave God no other choice. The Lord can do without our achievements. Amen. But he can't do without our love. Preacher.